Is it hyperbolic to say that if Donald Trump wins, this could be the last White House Correspondents' Dinner we see? Because, I mean, again, this is a guy who said he wants to lock up journalists. He wants to basically sue MSNBC or the New York Times. He wants to invoke the Insurrection Act to go against protesters. It's not hyperbolic, is it?
Don't threaten me with a good time. Oh, no. Making me want to vote for Trump.
How are you, baby? How old are you?
I don't know.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Russian disinformation.
You're
stewards.
This is what they're actually threatening us with. That if Trump wins again, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, one of the most self-flagellating, masturbatory exercises between our media, journalists, and the people they are supposed to cover, might go away. And I look at this, I go, this is how out of touch network punditry is, where they really think they're celebrities. They think their job is that of a celebrity and entertainer with privilege and money, that this is an actual threat. When this is something that will probably convince more people to vote for Trump than almost anything else. I'm not a Trump voter, but if you could promise me this one thing and nothing else for his entire next term, let's just go back to maybe how things were minus the fucking global plague that happened. If you could promise me this one thing, Larry David shrugging, I'd have to think about it. Sorry your stupid dinner went away, guys. It's April 30th, last day of April. Just a quick update. I gave this for the founding members. As I mentioned last week, I was going to be dealing with some family health stuff. And I thought that that was going to take place primarily on Friday. And then things came up and got rearranged. And that ended up taking both of my days because there were, I don't want to say complications, just new things that came up. And I am purposely vague with things like this because I don't need people sniffing around my family or my personal life or anything, which is what they love to do more than anything else. But if you deal with medical stuff and you deal with medical stuff in family, it's a lot of waiting. That's the main thing. I'm not good at waiting, just waiting for stuff. This is probably one of the worst things personally that I am It's why I suck at airports, just helplessly waiting on others to, you know, advance your day or your life. I'm not good at it. And especially, again, with family members in hospitals and medicals and surgery, that's all you're doing is just waiting. You're waiting for news, you're waiting for updates, you're waiting around, and it ended up eating up a good chunk of both of my days. So I do appreciate your patience with that, as it was a little unexpected. On that front, everything's fine. There's, you know, nobody's dead or anything like that. So that's the good news again. And with it being the last day of April, even for you freebies, I just want to say again, thank you for your support here on Substack and for this month. This was a pretty good month subscriber-wise. I don't pay a ton of attention to stats on Substack, metrics and tracking and stuff like that. I have all of your emails. I don't pay a ton of attention to it because I don't think that stuff like that is that important to what I do here. I think that all that's really important is that I can do this and you subscribe and for some reason you decide to subscribe and allow me to keep doing this. But I saw a stat this past weekend as I was kind of running down everything as an end of the month. Versus Media here on Substack just crossed 421,000 total downloads for the year. That's stunning to even somebody like me. I run just this little independent little pirate ship over here, which most days feels like the opening of Pirates of the Caribbean, where Johnny Depp's just on his sinking ship in what I do. And I saw that, and I was just completely stunned and blown away. And so I just have to say thank you to that. Even those of you who just stick around for the free preview, you get your 10, 15 minutes worth, which is fine if that's all you can stand. That's all I can usually stand of myself. But that one blew me away. I'm sincerely humbled and thankful for that. So again, thank you. And again, thank you for another month of support in April. It's been a wild one, and it's going to get wilder from here. I don't have much to say about the White House Correspondents' Dinner that hasn't already been said. They didn't answer for the fact that Qatar hosted an event and people who said that October 7th is just the beginning. We know who journalists are. We see them as they kind of stand aside and abide what we're seeing on college campuses, which we now have video of Jewish students being prevented from even entering campuses or libraries. And like I said, I had people who were wondering, how are journalists doing this? Well, when you see people like Josh Rogan say, I didn't see any anti-Semitic stuff, and then there's a sign that says Jews go back to Europe, they're either willfully participating in a narrative or they're ignorant, and neither should be excusable. And I think I was talking with someone privately about, especially this Columbia student leader, which I didn't get a chance to get into, but he was on video saying he wants all Zionists to die and we should be lucky he's not out there killing Jews. This person, who was also seen on video last night encouraging a break-in at a Columbia University hall, and just so we're clear, I think these universities deserve everything that's happening to them. If a building at Columbia is torched and burned down, so be it. We'll help you with the salt, okay? When it's all said and done and the fire's out, just let us help you. We'll buy the salt for you so we never have to talk about or fund these institutions ever again. But you had this student, and a lot of the stuff, as you see in videos, is performative. It's all theater. These are not revolutionaries, because actual revolutionaries do not melt down when somebody tells them to eat a salad, which happened at an actual protest. Actual revolutionaries, these idiot kids and their keffiyehs, they don't melt down when you wave a banana in their face. And I'll get into that one. This is the funniest thing that I've seen or heard maybe in this year. Actual revolutionaries don't melt down when you misgender them or use the wrong pronouns. And here we have the student leader from Columbia, who he's in his video, he's being very, how shall we say, flamboyantly theatrical about wanting to murder Zionists and Jews. And this is someone who I don't think has probably ever been in a fight, an actual fight, their life, much less an armed insurrection and an intifada. And this person was expelled. And now you're seeing the whitewashing again, just as they did with BLM, just as they did with Occupy, of what's happening on these campuses. And I was talking with someone privately over this stuff, and the reason is because they have to get control of the narrative. We have videos of them saying they want dead Jewish people. We have videos of Jewish students being kept from their classes on campus. We have video of students being told they cannot enter libraries or roped off encampment zones. Isn't it funny thing that the people who want to abolish ICE on the border, the first thing that they try to do with this stuff is erect a wall around their community and keep people who they don't know or are unvetted, including journalists, out of it? Performative hypocrisy. It would be funny if it all wasn't so dangerously exhausting. And I maintain that this is just the current thing. We had Occupy in 2012, we had BLM, we had George Floyd, and now we have BDS, and it's the Obama generation growing up and going to college. One of the students expelled at one of these universities, I believe it was NYU, said they were taught to protest in high school. That their dissertation that they got him into college on scholarship was about opposing Ron DeSantis' laws and walking out of school in Florida. And now they bring this behavior of which they're being taught in high schools to college. And some schools are, we're not fucking around with you anymore. You're expelled or you're suspended. Now, those are the colleges that actually have a moral fortitude and a moral clarity about what exactly is happening here. The only question that should be asked of these mush-brained little urban outfitter revolutionaries is, Do you agree with what happened on October 7th, where Hamas paraglided into southern Israel and murdered 1,400 innocent music goers, women, children, men, the elderly, including setting them on fire, kidnapping, torturing, and execution? That is the only question that has to be answered. No ifs, no Gaza, no apartheid, no. Do you agree with what happened on October 7th? Because right now, 4 out of 5 Americans, per a poll of the New York Times, says they're on the side of Israel here. And this isn't a hard one, apparently, except to everyone who is a journalist or an occupant of the White House. And those answers should be recorded. And every time you hear about a threat to a free press, either from Trump or the right wing on the harassment of journalists or whatever, you notice they all disappear when headscarf-wrapped college students prevent Jewish students from entering a campus or ask them to stop recording because they don't understand what one-party consent law is. The journalists all obey, and they all abide when that happens. One of the most, again, performative tactics that you see with all of this is you're not allowed to film them without the threat of assault, which we saw, or, again, even the insinuation that you're not allowed to film me without my consent. Yes, I am. That's the answer. Yes, I am. Unless there's a city law or state law that says it has to be two-party consent. Yes, I can. I can absolutely film you in a public space, and you are in a public space, not an autonomous zone for babies. And one thing you always notice is you can't film them until the police move in. And then, guess what? All of the phones suddenly come out and the journos flock. It is all theater. Which, again, it's failure theater in a sense that it would all be so funny if it didn't involve the most rampant cases of anti-Semitism that we've seen in this country since the fucking Holocaust. I continue to maintain a point that the White House releases press statements, and we got two of them today. One of them from John Kirby. I want to read these both in full because it's important. Kirby says, the president believes that forcibly taking over a building on campus is absolutely the wrong approach. That is not an example of a peaceful protest. And of course, as you were rightly noted, hate speech and hate symbols also have no place in this country. A small percentage of students shouldn't be able to disrupt the academic experience, the legitimate study for the rest of the student body, students paying to go to school and want an education ought to be able to do that without disruption, and they ought to be able to do it and feel safe doing it. And they certainly deserve to be able to graduate and participate in a graduation ceremony. He's referring to USC canceling their graduation ceremony. That's Kamala Harris's neighborhood. So it's rare to see these things, these protesters taken over by a force of a building on campus. And as I've just reiterated, that this is not does not comport with the idea of a peaceful protest. That was John Kirby, the actual White House press secretary, for what it's worth. And here is Andy Bates, who is acting president, deputy press secretary. Quote, President Biden has stood against repugnant anti-Semitic smears and violent rhetoric his entire life. Eulogized Robert Byrd. He condemns the use of the term intifada, as he has the other tragic and dangerous hate speech displayed in recent days. President Biden respects the right to free expression, but protests must be peaceful and lawful. Forcibly taking over buildings is not peaceful. It is wrong. And hate speech and hate symbols have no place in America. So we have written statements from Andrew Bates telling us what the president believes. We have written statements from John Kirby telling us what the president believes. The president sat at a fancy dinner this weekend, surrounded by ass-licking journalists, and he didn't speak out about any of this. In fact, we have not heard him speak any of those words himself. None. Joe Biden has spoken once about what's happening on college campuses, and he both-sided it. He said, yes, I condemn it, but I also condemn if people don't understand Gaza. And that's all we've heard from him. That is it. Someone explained to me why the president, who was elected to lower the temperature, who, as I noted, ran on this anti-Semitism he saw marching through Charlottesville, has yet to speak out on any of this. He has not given a formal address. He has not talked to reporters about it. He has not given a speech or a statement. Nothing. I want to recall a tweet that's going to come back to bite Joe Biden. 9:20, August 27th, 2020, and this was as George Floydism was running rampant across the country. Remember, this is at Joe Biden on Twitter, X, formerly Twitter. Remember, every example of violence Donald Trump decries has happened on his watch, under his leadership, and during his presidency. How are we enjoying the standard now? We have a Charlottesville happening on college campuses almost every day, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it's important. And you have a president who claims he ran on seeing rampant anti-Semitism who can't speak because they all know what happens. And this is also something being perpetrated by journalists. They're putting no pressure on President Lower the Temperature to come out and give a uniting speech. None. No pressure. And they all know why. Because he can't. I'm kind of the Chris Rufo mentality that let this happen. Let all of this happen. What's really interesting is you're seeing when cops step in already, the media, journalists, they're filming them. They're beating students. Put all of this stuff out in the open and let them talk. I kind of fully believe that. There's this air about the progressive left right now going around that we're trying to silence speech. And we're doing, no, you guys are encamping yourselves behind wooden boards and barriers. And it is all very much in the name of anti-Semitism and promoting Intifada and promoting what happened on October 7th. And I know that there's people out here, and I've said it as much, okay, expel them. Yeah, that'll come later. For now, let them speak. Get them on camera, get their names, and let this shit follow them around the rest of their life. Let this happen. And if buildings get burned, so be it. Do they think that we actually don't want Ivy League universities to burn to the ground? Buildings, mentally unstable activists who light themselves on fire. Hey, they can do it in the building and take the building down with them and receive double martyrdom. That would be fun. That's kind of my whole attitude on this right now. Let this all happen and let the country see that a president who was supposedly elected on having moral character and the moral high ground and who was supposed to return normalcy to the country and restore the soul of the nation can't even bring himself or his White House to let him speak about it. This is how Joe Biden is going to lose an election, and it won't matter if Donald Trump is in jail or not. Like I said... listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.